Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayin and Daf Yud Ches. We already did the first half of Daf Yud Zayin in yesterday's share, so we're actually on the very last line of the Omer Aleph, and we begin with the Idach Omar at the very bottom of the Daf. And Yitzhak Shem, like I said, in order to prepare us for Pesach and all the days that we can't have a share online, so we're going to try to do an extra half a Daf or so every day, and this way we'll be, Yitzhak Shem, all caught up by the end of Pesach without too much tircha for people. Albeit, I will ask the people, hopefully will chazer, because they're going to be less shiurim overall, so we don't want to decrease the amount of learning, so hopefully people will chazer the dafim over Pesach when there is no opportunity to listen to the shiurim on the days of Yontif and Shabbos. In any event, we're continuing in our discussion over here of what are the total of the 18 gezeros that were enacted in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkia. So we've gone through a whole bunch of them already, and now we ask V'idach Amar, another gezero, we turn to the Amud Beis. And that is stated over in the name of Tevi Rishba Amar Shmuel. What is Rishba? So Rashi says that's a trapper. Poresh Nishavim Lotzud Chayav Of. So this is a person who is out as a trapper. Rishba means someone who traps. Others have an interesting explanation. They say that this is a nutrikon, it's a mnemonic, it's a Rashi Tevos for Rosh Beis Av. In any event, this person, Tevi Rishba, he said in the name of Shmuel. He says that another gzera was that af gidule truma, the things that you grow from truma, you plant truma in the ground, the gidulim from that are also called truma. So gidule truma, and boba yom gazu. That was one of the additional gzeros, one of the 18 gzeros that were enacted that day in Hananya ben Chizkia's attic. Now what is this talking about over here? Here we have a situation where normally when you plant something mid daraisa, it loses whatever status it has. If it was Tameh, if it was Truma, if it was Meiser, it loses that status when you plant it, with the rare exception of some things that aren't fully disintegrated, but leaving that aside, normally when you plant something, it loses whatever status it has, and the new growths that come from it are fresh and new. However, the rabbis enacted over here that the produce that was grown from this would have the status of Truma as well. My time, what's the reasoning for making such a gezera? So Amar Ruchanina, Ruchanina said, gezera mishum truma tahora biyad Yisrael. They were concerned over here that there would be Jewish people that would not give their truma to the Kohen, and as a result, they would keep it for themselves, and they would say, oh, it's not something I want to give to the Kohen, I'll keep it myself, but they can't eat truma, so they'll plant it in the ground, and then we'll lose its status of truma, and this way they'll save, quote, on giving the truma to the Kohen. They'll be mafreshit, because otherwise all the rest of this stuff is tevel, but in this situation, they won't have to give actually the truma to the Kohen. So therefore, this gezeirah is enacted, Rabbi Chanina says, to prevent that from happening. Rabbi says, that really wouldn't be necessary. Amar Rabbi, if you're really concerned that the Jewish people aren't giving the truma to the Kohen, but you're saying that they're mafreshit, so then if that was their only concern, so if Rushi Nami Lifreshu, then you'd have to say that you're also concerned that they're not going to be mafresh the truma and take it off. Never mind, not give it to the Kohen. But that's not true. And we delete the words Elam Arava Yisrael because they really don't belong here. And we just continue and say, Kivan de Evshar, since a person could actually go and do, Lemevat Chita Achas Giz Shmuel. Shmuel made a famous statement, the Chita Achas Poteres Sakri. Technically, the mitzvah daraisa to give truma can be fulfilled by just giving one kernel. Chita Achas, one single piece of wheat, one kernel of wheat, will satisfy the Torah obligation to give tshuva. Mid the Rabban and the Rabbi said, a generous person gives a 40th, an average person gives a 50th, a stingy person gives a 60th, but that's mid the Rabbanon. Technically, chita achas poteres is a kri. So therefore, who in their right mind would make something into tevel and not do this mitzvah when you have a 1,000 bushels and we have to take off one kernel and give it to the Kohen? So therefore, if a person really wanted to get around this, all he has to do is say, I'm following the din daraisa, and he takes up one kernel and gives it to Cohen. So obviously, if a person is going to be able to easily get around this, velo ka'avid, are you telling me there is anybody in the world that wouldn't do this if they really wanted to cheat the Kohen out of his due? So there's a somewhat halachically loophole-safe way to do it. Just take off one kernel. And therefore, Hemuni Mehemni, therefore, they're all believed over here to say that they took off Tumas and Maisus, and why are we concerned that they're going to plant it? If they really want to get around it, they had a hetadik way to get around it. So you're right, that's not really the reason. So what is the reason that the rabbis would go over here? Elo gezera mishum truma tmeya. We're concerned over here about truma tmeya. Now truma tmeya is also given to the Kohen, and the Kohen is not allowed to eat it, he's allowed to burn it. But that's not a very good way to get full benefit from the truma. What he might consider doing, if you give it to the Kohen, is duma mashile gabe. He's going to keep it until the next planting season, and then he'll take his truma that is temeya, and instead of burning it as firewood, which is dirt cheap, he's going to plant it. Ah, that already is going to give him some sort of a profit. So therefore, va'asi l'itakola. Meanwhile, while he does this, he's going to keep it around this house, and somebody's going to forget that this is truma temeya, and they're going to grind it up, and they're going to make it into bread, and it's going to be eaten. And that's a real problem, eating truma temeya. So therefore, the rabbis enacted this decree in the attic of Hananya Mechitzkiah. This is another one of the 18 decrees that were made over there to prevent this from happening. Mark continues and says, V'idach, we still aren't at 18 yet. What is the next decree? So Omer Rechia Barami Mishmeidula. Rechia Barami says in Gula, Af Mishehech Shechlo Baderech. This is a famous decree that we're going to learn about later in the Masechta, that if a person is traveling on the road, he thought he would be able to get there before Shabbos. But as it often happens, there's a lot of traffic, there was an accident, the highway's closed, whatever, and he's suddenly stuck over there, and he's carrying his wallet. Now, what should he do in this situation? So the enactment that was made over here is no sin kisol enochri. The rabbis allowed this person to give his wallet, to give his possessions to a nochri to carry for him. Baba Yom Gozer. That was another one of the decrees in the attic of Hananya Mechitzkiah. Now, normally, you wouldn't be allowed to do this because amirli akam, you're not allowed to tell a non-Jewish person to do something for you that you're not allowed to do. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, and this is one of those exceptions to the rule. The rabbis were misaking this concept of amirli akam, but they only enforced it. They only said it's in effect under most situations. But in this situation over here, where there's a great concern, the guy has $100 in his wallet. He's not leaving his wallet there on the ground and walking without having to carry his wallet the rest of the way to his house on Shabbos. So the concern is that if you don't give him a heter dicka way of doing this that's not over in Issa Daraisa, he's going to be over in Issa Daraisa. He's going to carry his wallet. Dalad Amos B'Shus Rab. So therefore, the rabbi said, in this situation, we are not enacting our decree that Amir Le'akim applies. So here, we'll let him tell a Nochri, here, you carry my wallet for me. And therefore, the Jew won't be over the Issa Daraisa, and he'll only, quote, be over Amir Le'akim, which the rabbi said doesn't apply over here. And this way, they'll safeguard the Torah better than by having the institution of Amir Le'akim still be in effect over here. So this is another one of the decrees that were made in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiah. Finally, we're getting close to the end. V'idach, what's another one of the decrees? Amar Bali, Bali is the name of Amora. He says in the name of Amar Avimi Sanbasa. He says in the name of this other Amora Avimi who came from Sanbasa. Rashi says over here, this is the name of a place, Shem Makom. And he tells us a famous, famous gezerah. Pitan, Vishamnon, Vienon, Uvnoseim. He tells us actually four gezerahs, which are really going to be one. And these gezerahs are as follows, that we're not allowed to eat the bread that was made by a non-Jewish neighbor. Even if it's 100% kosher, you're still not allowed to use it. The oil, the non-Jewish person has oil. So even though it's, again, no questions of the kashrus, we're not concerned that they mix something else with it. You have a person watching, but they're the ones that made the bread. They're the ones that made the oil, and the same thing with the wine. So all three of these things, we'll see in a moment what the actual gzera was. There's a concern over here, and the rabbi said it's forbidden to use them. This was a single. Rashi will tell us this is not called three separate enactments over here. This is one enactment. And the final one is that the daughters of the Akum also have a prohibition about being miyachid with them. You're not allowed to be alone with them. So therefore, all of these four things were also kulon mishmonos odorahein. They were one of the 18. We don't count them as four. Rashi says we count them as one. This is the final one of the 18 enactments that were made in the attic of Hananya Mechitzkiah. Now let's understand this a little bit better before we conclude this subject. Hanichle Rav Meir, this works out very, very well according to Rav Meir, because according to Rav Meir, we now have a total of 18 enactments. Now, you can see this in Rashi, Hanichle Rav Meir, what those 18 are. The manulu that we count up over here, 18. Domeniach kelim tachas atzinor havelei yudches. If you include, which we had a machlokis on, Rav Meir held yes, Rav Yossi's held no, that the utensil that you left outside underneath the pipe and outside in the yard, so we had discussed that, that was number one. That was one of the 18. Not number one, but one of the 18. And then we had Tes, the Pasle Truma. We had the first nine that we had talked about. The Ein Korin, the Ein Poland, that was the first two that we had in the Mishnah. Remember, we had the gears of the Ein Poland, the Ein Korin. So we're up to, over here now, 12. Rashi now counts Tzinor as the 12th one. Then Umardeya, we had the one that the Tumah is transferred, even if the size is only a third of a Tefach, through the Mardeya. That's number 13. Ubnos Kusin, that's number 14. Then we said that they have a Tumah attached to them automatically. Number 15 is Ubotzer. We said when you collect the grapes, they're capable of being makabel tuma. It's mukshel makabel tuma. Number 16 is gidulei truma. That's the one we just said over here now, that the produce is going to be truma if the original produce was tuma dika truma. Number 17 is venosa and kiso. That was the one that we just said that you're allowed to tell Amir Liakim over here to have the guy carry your wallet when it's Erev Shabbos right before Chashecha, and it's going to be carried out Lamas in the Shusar Rabim. And finally, number 18 is this one, Pita and Shamnan. That's all one. The Pita and Shamnan Yenan is all one. And therefore, this is going to be the 18 according to Rav Meir, and life is good. However, what about Ella L'Rav Yossi, Shivsrei Havyon? He disagreed with Rav Meir about the Tzinor, and therefore he said that's a Dayan Machloke, so he only has 17. So Gemara answers, what's Rav Yossi going to do? Elohod Rav Acha Barada. He has an 18th one, which is Rav Acha Barada. What did Rav Acha Barada say? The Omer Rav Acha Barada, Omer Rav Yitzchok. He said as follows, Gozra Pito Mishum Shamnan. Over here, this is a Xeru of the Pas because of the oil. Al Shamnan Mishum Yenam. And the oil is because of the bread. Where it says, wait a second, apito mishum shamna, what are you telling me one is because of the other? Why are you telling me that they only made the gzera on the pas because of the shemen? My ul made the shemen pas. Why is shemen more of a reason to make gzera than the pas itself? Both of them for the same reason. We don't want us to associate with the non-Jewish people and assimilate. So where it says, you're right. Elo, gazru al pito mishamna mishum yena. So that is number 17 over here. This is the 17th one, according to Rav Yossi, that the gzera, not to eat their pas, not to eat the shemen, was because of their wine. Now, by the way, the Shamnan was considered elsewhere to be too difficult to gzeira, and we don't actually follow that gzeira. But the Pas, so we do follow that gzeira, and the Yayin, we do follow that gzeira. And then, Valyena Mishum Benoseim, and then, this is the 17th gzeira, according to Rav Yossi, and that is that we don't drink their wine because we're concerned that we'll assimilate with their daughters. If we get friendly with them and have their wine, so then it's going to be a problem. And that problem is going to lead to Avodah Zarah. B'yal b'noseh mishum dovaracher. Dovaracher here means Avodah Zarah. So that's the 17th Gezerah in its entirety, which is the same for Rav Meir, albeit Rav Meir has it as the 18th Gezerah, and Rav Yossi only has it as the 17th Gezerah. And now we have the 18th Gezerah according to Rav Yossi. B'yal dovaracher here, dovaracher doesn't mean Avodah Zarah, but it means something else, different than what we just talked about, the Piton, Shamnon, Yenon, and the daughters of the Akum. Now, Dover Acher, this other Dover Acher, Mishum Dover Acher, because of something else. Now, what are these Dover Achers? What are we talking about over here? The Gemara says, my Dover Acher. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, you know what this is talking about? Gozral Tinok Nochri. The first Dover Acher over here is that they made Xera that the Tinok of a Nochri is considered to be Shematame, the Goyish child over here is Matame Beziva, that we consider that child Tame Beziva, even though they normally don't have such, but the rabbis did this over here and said we should stay away from them. Why? Shloyitinok Yisrael Rogelitzlo. This way the Jewish children and the Goyish children shouldn't mix together. What is the concern over here? Because in those days it was unfortunately prevalent that there would be Mishkav Zocha, there would be acts of inappropriate behavior between a man and a man, between a boy and a boy. And therefore, the rabbi said, we have to make this 18th gezerah. Oh, so now Rav Yossi has this 18th gezerah. The Gemara says, Ihachi, Rav Meir also agrees with this gezerah. Rav Meir, Nami, Tishrei, Havyon. So then now we have 19 according to Rav Meir. How does Rav Meir say there's only 18? He doesn't disagree with this gezerah. Rav Yossi got rid of the Tzinor one, so he only has 18. But Rav Meir has the Tzinor one, so he now has 19. The Gemara says that's an easy answer. Ochlin, Mikalin, Shinitmu, Mashkin. The first case that we had was Ochlin and Kalim, so that we listed as two. So according to Rav Meir, Bechad, Choshevlu, it's only counted as one. Therefore, he now only had 17 also, and he'll also have as the 18th this Gezerah on the Tinok Shel Akum because of Mishkav Zocha concerns. With that, we conclude this beautiful discussion about the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah and the 18 gezeros that were done there. And now we introduce a brand new Mishnah going to a totally different subject. And here we begin to talk about some very practical halachas of Shabbos. And this will start off revolving around a fundamental machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai has a very, very strict shita, which I would dare say we're very happy that we don't paskin like, because this would be a very big change in the way we conduct our lives. Beis Shammai basically says that not only are you not allowed to do work, but your kelim are not allowed to do work. That there's a concept of shvisas kelim, da'araisa. Mid da'araisa, your kelim are not allowed to do work for you on Shabbos. Even if you're not doing the work, but your kelim aren't allowed to do the work. And Beis Hillel say, no, there is no concept of shvisas kelim. My items are allowed to do work on Shabbos as long as I'm not the one that's causing that work to occur. And this is a fundamental machlokes, which we pass like Beis Hillel, that our Mishnah is now going to start discussing. So let's begin. The Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Rishamai opinion is in shorin dio the samonim v'charshinin. A person is not allowed to go and soak. Now the shorin over here is essentially the ad melacha of kneading of lisha. If a person were to go and mix something on Shabbos, there's an issur d'oraisa of kneading. So this over here, this shorin that we're talking about, is being over the issur d'oraisa of kneading of lisha on Shabbos. Now, if you did this on Shabbos, you're over the issur d'oraisa. But Beis Shammai says you can't even do this on Erev Shabbos. Ein shorin diyo, you can't go and knead, which means to soak your dyes that make ink, the samonim, and various types over here of additional types of samonim or dyes or various types of herbs. You're not allowed to go and lisha do soaking them on Shabbos as well. Kashin. Kashin is always called vetch, a certain type of vegetable, which all of these things, if you did them on Shabbos, would all be Yisurim D'oraisa. But Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to do them on Erev Shabbos unless Elekadei Shishoru Mibojom, unless it's finished, that it's fully, quote, kneaded, until it's fully, the lisha with them is done, the dye is fully taken in, the samonim, the karshinin are fully absorbed in the water, and it's a finished product. If that finishes before Shabbos, then you don't have a problem. Otherwise, if it continues, once Shabbos starts, you are over, even though you did nothing on Shabbos, you did it all on Erev Shabbos. Of course, Beisel Matir, and Beisel says nothing doing. Beisel says you're allowed to do this because there is no Isser for it to happen, quote, on its own, continually happening on Shabbos. That's machlokis number one. What sounds like a very similar machlokis, we'll see that there's a slight difference, is the second situation or series of situations that now the Mishnah talks about. The second subject is Beis Shammai Yomim, and Beis Shammai says, it sounds very familiar like the first one, Ein Nosdim Unin Shel Pishtan. You're not allowed to take pieces of flax over here. Unin Shel Pishtan, Rashi tells us, are Agudos Shel Pishtan, bundles of flax, Menupats that have already been combed, Vinosin Nosel B'Kateri Latanu Umislavin. You put them into an oven, into a hot fire, in order that they should become whitened. So you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. That's the Isser of Libun, of whitening, of laundering on Shabbos. But Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to do this, Ein Nosdim Unin Shel Pishtan L'Sokha Tanur, even on Erev Shabbos, unless Elekadei Shavhilu Mibojom, unless they can be fully cleaned until they're fully white on Erev Shabbos. Likewise, V'lo Es Hatzemer L'Yor, you're not allowed to put the undyed wool, the white wool, into a pot. A Yor is a big pot that they would have dyes into it. Again, do this on Shabbos, you're over Tzoveya, which is an Issa D'Raisa. But even if you do this on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to do this, according to Beis Shammai, Elekadei Shiklo to Ayin. Until the dye, Ayin Rashi says over here, is the tzeva, and it has to be fully absorbed into the wool over here before Shabbos starts. Again, you're not doing anything on Shabbos, but if you were to allow this to continue, if it wasn't fully done on Erev Shabbos, Beis Shammai says because of the concept of Shvisas Kelim, your pot has to be at rest. In the previous cases, your pot there had to be at rest, or the taner had to be at rest. So if you don't do that, you're over Shvisas Kelim, even though it's being done on Erev Shabbos. And again, Ubei Salamatir. This all says it's permissible. Now, what's the chiddush over here? Why is there a difference between the first group, the dayo, and the simanim, and the karshinin, and the second group that we said about the flax, the unin shel pishtan, and the tzemel yoreh? So the difference is over here that in the second group, there was a theoretical concern that you're going to go and stoke the fire, because all of these things are in an oven of some sort, and maybe you come to be mechate gecholim. You're going to go and stir the coals, stoke the fire, and that's an additional concern. By food, Beis Hillel agrees to that. So the chiddush is that over here, they don't agree to that. Now, that wasn't the case in the first group of subjects, but it is the case in the second group of subjects that we're talking about. And now we enter the third dispute. Beis Shammai Yomrim, Ein Parsi Metzudos, Chayav Yofas Adogim. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos trapping. Everybody agrees to that. But you're not even allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos. You can't spread out traps for wild animals or birds or fish as long as it would go through from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. The only way you're allowed to do this, Elu Kidei Sheyitzodu Mibojom. If they finish doing all their trapping on Erev Shabbos, then you'd be allowed to. And again, Ubeis Hillel Matir. Beis Hillel says there is no problem in doing this on Erev Shabbos as long as it's not being done on Shabbos. The chiddush over here is that here there's an active trapping going on. So this is a bigger chiddush than the first group of scenarios and the second group of scenarios. Here there's an actual trap that's closing, and therefore that is something that you might have thought that Beis Hillel now would be moded to Beis Shammai, and the answer is no. There is a problem that Tosfos brings down over here. Tosfos in Dibur HaMasel in Porsim Mitzuda says, even if you did this on Shabbos, you might not be over a chattis because there's no guarantee that it's going to trap. And in order to be over a chattis, it has to be that you're doing the action right now. So Tosfos says that we're talking about that you put out the trap and you catch the animal right away. Then Tosos says in the next Tosos, Elekdei Sheyit Shodu, as long as there's enough time for it to trap. But that implies that if there's enough time for it to trap, so then you're allowed to put it out on Erev Shabbos. But how do you know it's going to trap on Erev Shabbos? Maybe it'll still trap on Shabbos, and then the same problem should occur to Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to trap on Shabbos. So this is a good question. It's asked in the Yushami, Tosa says. We explain over there, Mukula Beporesh Becharshin, the Mitsuyin Shom Chivasa. We're talking about traps that are in a forest that has a lot of animals. And definitely, Umayri Be'inyan Zeh, it's certainly going to occur that if you put a trap out for 5 hours before Shabbos, Shal Yuchol Luko Bimitsuda El Echro Beis, it will definitely trap something, and it can only hold one or two, and therefore it will definitely be trapped before Shabbos. Definitely be Bo'od Yom, and therefore it is not going to be a problem of trapping on Shabbos in that situation. So Tosfos explains, you need two conditions to be met to allow Beis Shammai to go and allow you to trap here on Erev Shabbos. It has to be in a place where there's plentiful animals that it could trap, and it's only able to trap one or two. So Bevadai, it will trap it before Shabbos. But Tosfos says, if that isn't going to occur, then Beis Shammai would say, no, you can't do it. If it can hold, let's say, 10 animals, so maybe you'll trap five before Shabbos, but then you'll trap the other five on Shabbos. That's not allowed. Now the fourth set of circumstances, Beis Shammai says that an Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to sell something to a non-Jewish person, because it's going to look, as we'll see, that you're instructed him to do work for you on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to sell on Erev Shabbos something to a Nochri. Main Tani Mimo, you can't help load up his animal together with him, because even though it's his animal, but it looks like he's loading it on your behalf. Vein Magbina Love, and likewise, you can't help him with a Masui, a load that he's carrying, as Rashi says over here. Ein magbin, v'lo magbin olav masul yakseifo. You can't help him put a package on his back, because dinero kimisayel l'holuk l'shabbos. In each of these situations, when you're selling it to him, you're helping him load his animal, or you're loading him up. In each of these situations, it looks like he's doing work for you. You're helping him because he's doing work for you. So the only way you're allowed to do this, Beis Shammai says, is elikadeshi agil l'mokum korov, as long as he's going to get to his house where he's going before Shabbos. And again, ubeisol matir. Beisol says it's not a problem over here to do this, because Beis Hillel says that people will say that's the goy's property. The fact that it's in the goy's possession means that it's the goy's property. And therefore, Beis Hillel isn't concerned over here. But Beis Shammai is. Now, the fifth and final area in the Mishnah is as follows. Beis Shammai Yomim, Ein Nosin Oros Liabdon. You're not allowed to go give hides to a tanner to go and make them. Of course, on Shabbos, that's Ibud. That's over in Issa Deraisa. But you're not allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos as well. And likewise, Lo Kalim, Lo Koveis, Lo Nochri. You can't give your clothing to a Goyisha laundromat. You can't give it to the cleaners to go and clean your clothing on Erev Shabbos. You certainly can't do it on Shabbos. It's Libun. But you're only allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos, Elekadesh Yasu Mibodjom. If there's enough time, you give it to him Friday morning, and it takes 2 hours to do it. And now, he could have finished it. And therefore, in that situation, Beis Shammai says it's allowed. Beis Hillel says differently. Ubukulam Beis Hillel Matirim Im Hashemesh. As soon as you turn to the Amud Aleph, as soon as it's not yet nightfall, you can do this right away, as long as Rashi says, Ba'od HaChama Zarachas, as still as it's not Shkia. So therefore, it's still considered daytime, and all of these things. You didn't do anything wrong once the guy takes it, so it's in the guy's hand, so to say, and therefore, you don't have a problem with doing any of these things. In the entire Mishnah over here, all five of the categories, Beis Hillel says, you can do this all the way up until the sun sets. Now, the Gemara will have a couple of caveats about this, so we'll be discussing this in the Gemara. You'll see that it's not a carte blanche over here that you can do this with a non-Jewish person, but in general, they're much more mako than Beis Shammai, and that's what we have, the five sets of subjects or scenarios here in our Mishnah. Finally, the Mishnah concludes on the Omer Aleph. Omer Shimon Galil, Noagin on Yubei Saba, Shiu Nostin Kli, Lovan, Lekoves, Nochri, Shloshi, Omer Kodin, Shabbos. That Rav Shimon Galil, who came from Hillel, the descendants, the line of Hillel, we had the other day, that there was Hillel, there was Shimon, there was Gamliel, there was Shimon. So this is Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's a descendant of Hillel. Nevertheless, in this situation, he passed like Beis Shammai. And so much so, that white garments, Kli Lavan, which Rashi says, Shukosh L'chavos, they're very, very difficult to go and clean. But so, Kimu Yomim, it only takes 3 days to clean them by their cleaning methods. U'machmir n'latzim Beis Shammai. And the household of Rav Shimon Gamliel was machmir in this situation, not like the Elta Zaydi, like Hillel, but like Beis Shammai. And therefore, they wouldn't give it to the laundromat unless they had 3 days beforehand, because it takes 3 days. And therefore, they would only give it if it was Kodim L'Shabbos, Nochi Shol Shiyamim Kodim L'Shabbos. Fine. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel's personal practice was, even though he passed in like Beis Hillel. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, V'shovin Elu Ve'elu, everybody holds over here, She'toenin Koras Beis Habad V'agule Hagas. Here, we have an interesting kula that even Beis Shammai holds from, and that is that once you've started squeezing the olives in their olive press, that's the gas, so then you can keep on adding pressure on them by putting various Beis Chabad beams. So the Kores Beis Chabad, those are the beams that they would place on top of the already started to be crushed olives, and also the Igulei Agas, those are also some sort of a round types of beams that they would place on top of the crushed olives, and in this way, you would be allowed to go and continue doing this. If you started this on Erev Shabbos, you can continue, even according to Beis Shammai, doing it on Shabbos. And the reason is, the Gemara will explain, because this is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, even if you did it on Shabbos. And therefore, Beis Shammai wasn't Gozer over here, they were only Gozer on Issurim D'Oraisa, but not on Issurim D'Rabbanan. Now we start the Gemara. I already told you that our Mishnah is talking about the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is dealing with Shvisas Kelim on Shabbos. Beis Shammai says you have an obligation to have your utensils rest, and Beis Hillel says no, you don't. But here we're going to see Man Tana Nitzinus Mayim L'Diozu Yishriyoson. Here we're going to explain it first in a different way. Who is the author of our Mishnah that says you can't go and soak the water with the ink over here because that's kneading it? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, this is the opinion of Rebbe. This is Rebbe's opinion, the Tanya. Rebbe says over here in the Braisa that if a person puts in kemach, the first one puts in kemach, and then the second one puts in water, so ha'achron chayav. It's only the second one who does this on Shabbos that's going to be over in Issa Darais over here, Divrei Rebbe, because the second one is the one that's doing the kneading by adding the water to the flour. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, it should be. We leave out, the Gemara doesn't here have the words Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. In the Bach it does, and later on it does as well. So we'll call this the Shita of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. He holds, Omer, Eino Chayev Achi Yigabli. He says, no, unless you manually, you physically go and need this over here, just adding the water is not an Issa D'Oraisa. So from our Mishnah that says, if you just put the water and the dye or the ink, the Samonim, together, so then that's enough. So our Mishnah goes like the opinion of Rabbi. More questions this and says, Amalei Abaye, maybe not. V'dilmo, Atkan lo, Kamar Rabbi Yossi, maybe, over here, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it should be, Ela bekemach devar gibelu. You know why by flour, Rabbi Yossi says, you're not over in Issa D'Oraisa? Because it's not really mixed by just putting the water in. You ever add water to flour? So it just sits there separate. It doesn't mix automatically. You have to knead it with your hands. So maybe in that situation where you have water, devar gibelu, that it's something that requires mixing. In that situation, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, you must mix it in order to be over the Issa D'Oraisa. But even Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda would agree, I will do yo, the law of bar gibelu, that when you just add the water and the dye together by Brownian motion, the dye will become mixed in with all the water, so that's already over Lisha, so maybe Emel Lechayev, maybe not only Rebbe, but even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would like to make our Mishnah according to everybody. Maybe our Mishnah is actually even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Moshe says, no, that's not right. Don't think that for a second. The Tanya, because we have another Brisa that says, Echad no sinesa efer, the Echad no sinesa mayim, if you're making over here the water for the paraduma, for the ashes of the paraduma, and you add over here ashes over here into the pot, and then you add water, so the first person who puts in the ashes, the echad nosin esamayim, the second person who puts in the water, ha'achron chayev, only the last one who puts it in is over for this lisha, for this mixing. That is the opinion of Rebbe. That's exactly like our Mishnah. And along comes Rav Zev Yehuda, and here you don't need to mix it with your hands, but he says, Achi Gabel. He says you actually have to go and mix it with your hands over here too. Now, normally the afer, the ashes over here, don't require mixing. And yet we still see that Rabbi Yehuda says you're only chayev not by just pouring in the water, but by you have to mix it with your hands. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda would not hold like our Mishnah. Gemara says, maybe, Vidilma, my afer, what does ashes mean with an olive? Offer, it really means dirt. Debar gibelu, dirt, in order to mix well with water, to make mud, you can't just pour the water on the dirt, you have to mix it together very well. So maybe it says afer with an olive, but it really means offer with an ayin. Where it says, that's not what it says. We have, first of all, two brises. Vatanya, afer, one brise says with an olive, and Vatanya, another brise says with an ayin, offer. So how can you tell me over here that they're the same thing? Shmuel says, mi de gabi hadodi tanya, well, both of these two brises brought down together? No, they brought down at separate times. So maybe it's talking about the same din. It's both talking about dirt. One place is, it refers to it as offer, as with an ayin. And the other place, it refers to the dirt with an aleph as afer. And therefore, you can't bring me a raya from over here. And maybe, in fact, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda could actually be the author of our Mishnah as well, not only Rebbe. And in fact, if something requires gibel, so then Rabbi Yosef Yehuda will say, you're not chayiv if you don't do the gibel with your hands. Otherwise, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would agree that if it doesn't require gibel with your hands, so then you're chayiv by just adding the water. So our Mishnah doesn't have to be only according to Rebbe. Our Mishnah could be theoretically according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda as well. Now, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa continues and he says, Poskin Mayim Lagina, another type of activity that you can do on Erev Shabbos is opening up the gates to your orchard to allow the water to flow into it, to your garden, to your gina over here on Erev Shabbos. And you're allowed to do this Erev Shabbos Simchas Shechach. Even though the water will continue to flow on Shabbos, it's not a problem. Now we'll see, this seems to go against Beis Shammai's opinion, so this must be the opinion of Beis Hillel. And it's allowed to flow throughout Shabbos because you're not doing any activity on Shabbos itself, you do the activity on Erev Shabbos. Furthermore, likewise, you can go and put and burn incense underneath your clothing. They would do this in order that the clothing would have a nice aroma to it. And you're allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos, even though the incense will continue to burn on Shabbos. And and it will continue to go and place the incense into the clothing all on Shabbos. Now, if you did this on Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to. If you watered your field on Shabbos, you'd be over in the Sederaisa. If you did the burning of the incense on Shabbos, you're over in the Sederaisa. But as long as you did it on Erev Shabbos, it's allowed. And similarly, Omanichin Gofris Tachas Akelim, Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, you can go put the sulfur. They were used to go and put sulfur underneath various silver utensils. It would somehow improve the utensil in some way, make the engravings more clear. In any event, they would do this. And likewise, Umiskafrin Bahokin Kol Shabbos Kula. And it would be allowed to continue all Shabbos long to go and do add this soot over here to the keli, which somehow was good for it, and therefore you're allowed to do this on every Shabbos, even though it continue on Shabbos. And finally, umanichim kila or gabi ayin, you can likewise go and place some sort of a medication. This thing called kilar, Rashi says, this is some sort of a salve, a tachboshes, that's known by a foreign language word. So you can put this on your eye on Erev Shabbos. And likewise, v'splanes agabi maka, you can go put likewise a salve, a dressing on a maka, on a wound on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos v'chashecha. Incidentally, the Mesoras HaShas actually removes the word Erev Shabbos v'chashecha each time. I'm not sure why, because it technically is certainly correct. We're talking here about all these things are done on Erev Shabbos v'chashecha. You're allowed to go and do all of these things. That's what this Mishnah tells us over here. That's what this Braisa tells us over here. And you're allowed to do this. Aval einos dimchitim. But one thing you're not allowed to do, the Braisa continues, aval einos dimchitim letzolcha richayim shamayim. But you can't go put kernels of wheat into a millstone that is a water-powered millstone. That you're not allowed to do even Erev Shabbos, unless ele b'chdei shi'itachanu mibodyom, unless it's fully ground up before Shabbos. Otherwise, you're not allowed to do this. Obviously, there's a stira mineo bay. Why is this last thing not allowed? All the other things are allowed. My time, but what's the reason that the last thing isn't allowed? So I'm a rabba. Here's a special gzera. It's nothing to do with the malacha being done Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. It's not a din of Shvisas Kalim. It's a din, rabba says, I'm a rabba b'mnei shemashmas kol. It makes noise. And this looks bad. This is something called avsha milsa. The noise over here is going to look like you're doing something on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do. And therefore, in this and only this situation, is it a problem. All the others, where it doesn't make any noise, it's not a problem. This is a very important issue on Shabbos called avsha milsa. Moshe Feinstein Zatzal originally came out and said that air conditioners couldn't be used on Shabbos because of avsha milsa. It makes a lot of noise. It looks like you turned it on Shabbos. Theoretically, the first lights that were put on Shabbos clocks, it would have been like an avsha milsa. It looks like something is going on over here. Lamaisa, we don't paskin like that for certain things of avsha milsa, but for other things that we do. In any event, that's what Rabbi says is the reason. But Rav Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Rav Yossi, for a famous Bali Plukta, right? Sinai and Ochre Harim, we had at the end of the Masech of Shabbos, of Brachos, and Amale Rav Yossi disagrees with Rabbi. He says, V'leimar mar mishum shvisa kelim. This Braisa, this Tana Rabbanan, this Braisa, is all about Shvisas Kalim. It's all about that you're not allowed to have your utensils do work for you on Shabbos. The Tanya, as this other Braisa says, Uvuchol Asher Amarte Elechem Tishomeru. This is telling us a separate issue over here. L'rabos Shvisas Kalim. This is extra. This Psukim are extra. Rashi brings down over here that you didn't need to tell me this. It was already said in the previous Psukim. Dilsiv La'el Minez. Rashi says in L'rabos Shvisas Kalim. It says right before this, L'man Yonuach Shorecho V'chamorecho V'gomer. So it already told you can't do this. And now it tells us again that you're not allowed to go and use your utensils. So this is coming to teach us the din of Shvisas Kalim. That's the Chiddush over here. L'rabos Shvisas Kalim. So therefore, Rav Yosef says, the reason isn't Avsha Milsa like Rabba, Elam Rav Yosef, Mishum Shvisas Kalim. Now, we have a problem over here. Bahashta the Amris, now that you're telling me this price over here is Lebeis Hillel, Islu Shvisas Kalim Deraisa, clearly you're telling me over here that the reason why you can't do the last part is not because of Avsha Milsa, you can't go grind the grain Erev Shabbos because it's going on Shabbos, because of Shvisas Kalim, so then how can you do anything else over here? Why does it the same issue, Shisas Kalim, apply to all the first things that this Braisa tells us? Gofris u'mugmar, my time is sharu. How come Beis Hillel lets you do the putting out of the sulfur and the putting out of the incense on Erev Shabbos? So where it says, no, mishum delo kovid ma'isa. You're not doing any ma'isa over here with your utensils. You know why? It's going on the ground itself. As Rashi says in Dira Maskul, Lo Ka'ovit Hakli, Shom Maisa, El Munach Alo Oretz. It's actually on the ground, the Hein Besocho, and this is in the ground. But the Rechayim, the millstone, Abde Maisa, because that's your actual millstone. And that's why the millstone is a problem of Shvisas Kelim, but the Mugmar and the Gofris are not. Zmar says, Unin Shel Pishtan, my time is Sharu. Okay, that's great for the Gofris in the Mugmar, because they're on the ground. But the flax is in an oven. It said, B'davka, it's in an oven. So how is that allowed to be done? That's your Keli. Shvisas Keli shouldn't be allowed. Zmar says, Mishum Delo, Ovid Maisa, Umeinach Naicha. It says, even though it's in your oven's not doing anything. Your oven's sitting there. Your oven's not doing something. There's no Maisa being done by the oven. That's why Beis Hillel allows that, even though they hope for Shvisas Keli. So what's the Havamina? What is Gemara thinking? So Gemara, the Tosu says over here, Unin shel pishtan, ha did not get unin tvei midiyo v'samon. What about the other ones, the kashinin, mishum dehosam, pshita deleka maisa. All the other ones, they certainly don't have a maisa. But the oven over here, the oven is a little bit doing a maisa, and it keeps the heat in. It is somehow doing an action of keeping it hot. And therefore, that's what you might have thought. And therefore, the Gemara says, no, that's also not considered a maisa. Then Gemara says, okay, great. All of these other things, your pot's not doing a maisa. But how do you explain Mitzudas Chayev Opadogim, your traps? Now, those traps, for example, Rashi says that it grabs around the leg of an animal that's caught in it, and it closes on it. So it's doing something specifically over here. So how can you tell me that that's not doing a maisa? My time is Sharusa. How come Beis Hillel, rather, says over here, Shvisas Kelim doesn't apply? So Gemara says, no, it's a different type of trap. It's not a trap that you have that closes around the animal, snaps around the animal's foot when it steps on it. Hasam nami beloche v'kurkere, the lo-covid maisa. What are loche and kurkere? So Rashi says over here, the loche is a chika. It's like a hook that the fish bites, and the fish, so to say, traps itself. The hook didn't do anything. The hook is standing there in the water, and the fish jumps and grabs it. So the kli doesn't do anything. It's the fish that does it, so therefore the kli is passive. And kurkere is a certain type of a basket trap, for example, for a fish, that it goes into wide open end, and it keeps on going and going and going to a narrow end, and it sticks its head through the other narrow end, but it can't get its body through. So it now tries to back out, but it can't because they're like hooks that trap it by its gills, and therefore the fish can't get out, and that's how it's trapped. But the basket didn't move or didn't do anything. It's the fish, so to say, that got trapped. And that's why all of the types of utensils in this brisa could work according to the sheet of Beis Hillel, even though they hold Shvisas Kelim. But here, there is no Shvisas Kelim because they all were passive. The only one that's active is the millstone with the water. That's how we want to have our Havamina to understand this Gemara right now. But the Gemara says, V'ashludem Rav Hoshaya Maravasi, but that's not true. That Rav Hoshaya Maravasi tells us that it's not the opinion of Beis Hillel to have Shvisas Kelim. Who is the Tana Mantana Shvisas Kelim Daraisa? Who really holds that Shvisas Kelim is Daraisa? It's only Beis Shammai here, but no Beis Hillel. There is no such opinion that Beis Hillel says that Shvisas Kelim is also. It's only Beis Shammai. And therefore, Le Beis Shammai, Ben Kovid Maisa, Ben Delo Kovid Maisa also. According to Beis Shammai, it has nothing to do with Maisa. Beis Shammai says, anytime your Kelim are working on Shabbos, Maisa, not Maisa, it's Osir. And with Beis Hillel, Afa Gab the Kovid Maisa Shari. Even according to Beis Hillel, it did a Maisa on Shabbos, we don't care. As long as you started it every Shabbos, it's not a problem. There is no dinner Shvisas Kelim according to Beis Hillel. And once you say this, V'ashadam is L'Beis Shammai, Afa Gab L'Ovid Maisa Osir. And once we say that Beis Shammai's opinion has nothing to do with either the Maisa or not, it's going to be Osir. So now we turn to the Amid Beis, Ihachi. So then, Mugmar v'gofris, my time or show of Beis Shammai. So if this Brisa is really the opinion of Beis Shammai, so how come Beis Shammai says, because it doesn't require Maisa, so then why does Beis Shammai say in this Brisa that it's mutter? Shmuel says, no, hasa munacha ara. So again, it's on the ground. It's not in your utensil, so therefore, none of your utensils did any work. Shmuel says, wait a second. If this is true, that Beis Shammai really asks you doing anything with your utensils on Shabbos, so how come there were certain utensils that Beis Shammai doesn't ask? For example, a gigis, Rashi explains that this gigis is something that they would put beer inside, and the beer had to ferment for a long period of time, at least 8 days. So by definition, it's going to be over a Shabbos. And we don't find that Beis Shammai says that you can't make this beer. And likewise, Vener, you're allowed to light your candles on Erev Shabbos, and it goes into Shabbos. How are you allowed to do that? Your candlesticks are working. Ukdera, you have various types of dishes over here where you're going to cook things for a very long period of time. Rishput, and likewise, you're putting it in, the Korban Pesach was allowed to be put in on Erev Shabbos, and it could roast on Shabbos in that situation as long as you started on Erev Shabbos. How come in all of these situations, your Kalim are doing work, and yet my time of Shor Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai does allow it? If we're saying that Beis Shammai holds Shvisas Kelim is also in the Raisa, how come these are allowed? So the Gemara says an interesting teretz, the Makri Luav Kure, because it doesn't belong to Beit Shammai. They were mafgrid. Tosus explains they didn't really mafgrid over here, because the Gemara in the Darim, the Tosus Dibra Maslu, the Mifkarul, who Afkure, he brings down from the Gemara in the Darim, the Bein and Hefker, Bivne Gimel. You have to be Mafkir something in front of the three people. And here, we don't find that that's necessary. So he basically says over here, when you have no choice like this, then it is as if Basedin over here went and was Mafkir for you. And therefore, even though you didn't actually go and be Mafkir, it is considered Hefker, and therefore, it is not considered that your utensils did work for you on Shabbos. The Gemara continues and says, "Man Tana Lahod Tana Rabban." Who is the author of the following brisa? Lo Samali Yisha Kedera Asosios Vitur Misin. A woman is not allowed to go and cook a pot over here that's made with these types of beans that are known as Asosios and Turmisin. And Rashi points out over here that these are mine kitnios, types of beans with tzrichim bishul yosa. They need to be cooked for a very long period of time. So how are you, who's the author of this price that says, you're not allowed to go do this, v'saniach l'sochatan, Erev Shabbos v'chashecha, to make this on Erev Shabbos before it gets Shabbos. Mim nesan, and if you in fact did this, and it's cooking all over Shabbos, l'motzi Shabbos, even after Shabbos, asur m'chnei shiasu, you're not allowed to eat it right after Shabbos. You have to wait the amount of time, it takes 5 hours to cook. You have to wait 5 hours after Shabbos before you can eat it. Kayotzibo, similarly, a person who's a baker, he's not allowed to go and fill up his barrels of water and heat them up before Shabbos and put them into the oven before it's dark, and he wants to have the water right ready for Motzei Shabbos. You're not allowed to do this. And in fact, you did this. You have to wait Motzei Shabbos the amount of time that it will take to heat up the water. So let us say, is this only according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, who says Shvisas Kelim, and not according to the opinion of Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, no, afilu tema beis hillel. This could even be according to the opinion of beis hillel. Why? Here we have another interesting restriction. Gezeira shema yachte b'gecholim. When I mentioned earlier in the shiur today that you may come to adjust the coals, you may come to stoke the fire over here, and there's a concern in this situation that you'll do that on Shabbos. That's real havara, and therefore, even according to beis hillel, who's not worried about shvisas kelim, they're worried that you come to stoke the fire. Says if that's true, so wait a second. Now go back to the other brisa that we had. We said that Beis Hillel certainly would allow, even Beis Shammai allows you to do the mugmar and the garfus on Erev Shabbos. Why aren't we concerned that you'll go stoke it and so you'll have more incense and more sulfur on Shabbos? Where says, no, there's not a concern. There's nobody in their right mind that would go stir those coals. Why not? Because the imachte, if you went and stirred those coals, it would actually make things worse. Solik behu kutra, you're actually going to have a lot of smoke go up over here, and that's worse for koshalu. You're going to not accomplish what you want to do, which is to have it nice smelling. It's going to be foul smelling. It's going to be ruined in some way by having the excess smoke. So we only have the concern of Shema Yechate Gecholim when it's going to be a positive benefit for you. But if there's no positive benefit for you, then there is no concern. Mara says, okay, let's look at the next case. Unin shel pishto nami ligzor. So the rabbi should have made a gzera over here that you can't go and put the unin shel pishto in on Erev Shabbos because you may come to stoke the coals as well on Shabbos. Mara answers, no, again, same thing. Hosim kiven de kosher luzika. If you open up the oven over here so that you can stoke the coals, so a draft will come in, a wind will come in. Zika's a wind, and therefore nobody in their right mind would do this because it will actually ruin the dyeing of the flax, the whitening of the flax. And Loma Galilei, and therefore nobody will go and do this, therefore there's no reason to make a gzera, Shema Yechate Gecholim. Okay, Tzemel Yoreligzor, but the wool in the big pot, when it's applying the dye, so there's no concern over there. Why then are we allowing you to do this? Why aren't we saying Shema Yechate Gecholim? Since there is no concern that you'll ruin it by stirring the coals, why aren't we concerned that you'll stir the coals? So Amar Shmuel, Biorakura. We're talking about that the pot isn't on the fire. So if it's not on the fire, there's no concern that you'll stoke the coals. Okay, there's no concern you'll stoke the coals because it's not on the fire. Venecho Shema Megis bought, but maybe you'll stir it so that the dye gets absorbed better. You'll see that the dye is not absorbed as well as you'd like, and you'll go and stir it, which will also be an Issa Daraisa. Gemara says, no, Bakura, it's off the fire, and also Vetucha, and it's sealed. By the time you go and remember to unseal it, oh, you're going to say it's Shabbos, of course I'm not allowed to go and stir it. So therefore, that's why those weren't concerns. Gemara continues and says, Vahashto di Omamar, now that we're holding over here, Gzeru Shema Yachti Becholim, that we're saying that Beis Hillel's concern over here, why you can't put certain things on an oven before Shabbos, because you're not going to be happy with how well it's cooked, and you're going to stir it on Shabbos, which would be an issur d'oraisa. So now we bring in a bunch of very interesting cooking halachos. Gezeira shema yachta b'cholim should make it be that you shouldn't be able to go and put stuff in an oven on Erev Shabbos, because you may come to stir the coals and heat it up on Shabbos. So if that's true, nevertheless, you're allowed to do the following. That gezeira shema yachta b'cholim only applies in certain situations. It wouldn't apply in the following. Hai kedera chaisa, if you have over here raw food, it takes 5 hours, let's say, to cook. And now you put it up, and you're putting it up Friday night, right before Shabbos starts, so there's no way it's ready for your Friday night meal. And there's no way it won't be ready for your Shabbos morning meal. So therefore, shari la'nucha erev Shabbos im chashecha bitanura. You could, in fact, put such a raw dish up right before Shabbos in your oven, because there's no concern over here. What are you concerned about? You're going to stir it so it'll be ready Friday night? No matter what you do, it won't be ready Friday night. My timer, given the luchazi l'urta, there's no way it'll be ready Friday night. No matter how much you stir it and stoke the fires, it won't be ready. And therefore, asuchi meisach daitimine, you're not going to be concerned about it. Maybe you'll need it for Shabbos morning, you'll stir the coals. There's no way it won't be ready for Shabbos morning, when even if you don't stir the coals. And therefore, asuchi meisach daitimine, you have absolutely no interest in it, and velo osi l'chatuye gecholim, and there's no way you'll go and stir the coals. Likewise, ubashil, if it's already fully cooked, so you can put it back on the fire on Erev Shabbos, because shapir dami, there's no concern over here. Bashil, it's already fully cooked, and therefore it's not a problem. You won't be stirring the coals because it's already cooked. But the where we do have a concern is bashil v'lo bashil, if it's partially cooked. Now, it takes another hour to cook, but you're ready to eat right now, so we're afraid that 10 minutes before then you're going to stir the coals and heat it up a little bit so it will cook faster. Then you have to be concerned, and it's osur. I'll learn later on, there are things that you can do that's not a problem, by making a blech, by going and covering up the coals in a certain way, that it's like a blech that you will prevent you from going and stirring it. But right now, we're not talking about that yet. The Gemara says, "Bishod de be'gar mochaya," but even with this situation where it's partially cooked and you might normally stir it, if you throw in a raw piece of meat, then that raw piece of meat will not be ready, and that makes the whole pot out of your mind, asuchi meisach daite minei, and therefore, shapir dami. Then in that situation, you would be allowed to go and put in a raw piece of meat, and then it's not a concern of shemi yachat degecholim. Furthermore, the Gemara says, "V'hashto de mamar," now that we're saying, "Kol mi de dekosh lezika," we just brought down that if the wind will be bad, for example, the flax in the oven, if the wind will be bad for it, so we're not concerned that you'll go and stir the coals, lo megalale, you won't go and uncover it, so then we have additional coolers over here. Hai bisra de gadja, you have over here goat meat. Goat meat over here is going to be ruined by a wind. Usharik, and likewise, if the oven is sealed, so that's also a second hecker or a second way that will prevent you from going and stoking the flames. If you have both of these two, that it's the type of meat that would be ruined by a wind, so you're not going to uncover it, and it's also sealed, so you're not going to easily uncover it, shapir dami. You'd be allowed to do this Erev Shabbos as well. However, the Barcha Rashi translates over here as Ayil Godol, a big ram. So here, it's not going to get ruined by a wind, and velo sharik, and this oven is not sealed over here. So you have two things that are against you. Number one, it won't be ruined by the wind, and it's very easy to go and stoke the fire. Therefore, in this situation, it's not allowed. Also, you can't do this. What about if it's one of the two? You have gadja, which is going to be ruined by the wind, velo sharik, but it's not sealed, so it'll be easy to open up. Or the barcha, which is not ruined by the wind, but sharik, it's sealed. So this is a machlokas, according to this first version over here, Ravashi Shari Vyirmi Vidifti Osir. This is a machlokas in Ravashi Vyirmi Vidifti. Ravashi says it's allowed, as long as you have one hecker, so to say, either it'll be ruined by the wind or that it's sealed, so you won't quickly do this, then it's permissible. And Vyirmi says, no, if you only have one of the two, it's not enough. So more questions this. So the Ravashi, the Shari, according to Ravashi, who says that it's allowed, but now we learned in a Mishnah, ain't sol and basa, batzel and beitza, you're not allowed to go and roast meat. And that's what we're talking about over here. Meat, you're not allowed to do this. Batzel ubeitza, elikadeshi, it's only mibojom, unless it's fully cooked during the daytime. For the fact that it says over here, basur, it implies even gadja, even meat that would be easily ruined by the wind. So here, Ravashi had said that any type of gadja meat is, even if it's not sealed, is not a problem. But here this Brisa says, actually it's a Mishnah, Vatnan, it really should be instead of Vatanya, so this says that that's not true, so Kasha and Ravashi can't go against the Mishnah. Shmuel says, no, who says that Mishnah is talking about goat meat? Hosom v'barach v'lo shark, it's talking about meat of a ram, and it's not sealed, so you have both against it. That's why Ravashi would agree with that, but if you had one, Ravashi would say it's good. Finally, one other version of this over here, Ika di Amre, some would learn it the following way, the gadja, that for a goat, bain, sharik, bain, lo sharik, a goat is always good, whether it's sealed or not, shapir dami, because as long as the goat meat would be ruined, you're not going to stoke the fire. And the barach unami u sharik, and even the ram meat, which would normally not get ruined, but if it's sealed, again, one hecker is enough, shapir dami. Where do Rav Ashi and Rav Yirmiyah Midifti argue, keep lige, they're arguing the barach v'lo sharik, when you have two against you, it's ram meat and it's not sealed. And in that situation, even there, the Rav Ashi shari, Rav Ashi says it's okay to do this, because it's in an oven. So even though it's not sealed, it's still going to be a hecker by the fact that it's in an oven. And Rav Yirmiyah Midifti says, no, it's also in this situation, because it's too easy to do. Gemara says, according to Rav Ashi, says it's good. Rav Ashi Deshari. Wait a second. Now we bring in that Mishnah that we just had before. Again, it's, instead of Vatan, you should be Vatnan. He says, Ain Solim Basa Batsa Lubetsa. You're not allowed to roast meat. That implies any meat, including Barcha in an oven, El Kadeshi Tzolim Bimod Yom, unless it's fully cooked beforehand. So Gemara says, no. You know what that price, that Mishnah is talking about? Hasam Bibisra Agumre. It's talking about the meat, the Barcha over here is roasting openly, it's not in an oven, it's roasting directly on coals. And therefore, in this situation, it's not going to have any hecker, and a person could quickly go and be mechatad the gecholim, and that's why Rav Ashi would say in that situation, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. But if it's in an oven, even if it's not sealed, and even if it's ram, you'd be allowed to go and do this according to Rav Ashi. Finally, we finish off, we'll get to the two dots. Amar Ravina, hai kra, chaya, this kra is usually translated as squash or as cabbage. So this raw cabbage or this raw squash, shaper dummy, it's perfectly allowed to also be put in on Erev Shabbos. Why? Given the kosh lezika, it also is going to be ruined by the wind. So therefore, kibisra the gadja dummy, it has the same halachic status as the bisra the gadja, which according to the second version, everybody says is good. And according to the first version, Rav Ashi would say is good. With this, we conclude today's shir.